It's time for Blessed to Play on EWTN Radio, uncovering the role that faith plays in the lives of sports professionals from around the country. And now, here's your host, Ron Meyer.
Fire, score!
My guest today spent 28 years as a big league coach, but he paid a heavy price to get there. Rich Donnelly is the subject of the book called The Chicken Runs at Midnight. It's written by Emmy-nominated sports journalist Tom Friend. It chronicles the life of Rich to the big leagues, but also on his dying daughter, Amy. There's a miracle that surrounded her story in the 1997 World Series. We'll talk about that and the life of my good friend, Rich Donnelly. Rich, it's an honor. Great to have you on.
Hey, Ron. Good to be here.
Listen, this book starts off in Steubenville, Ohio, and many people don't know about Steubenville, but the first two names that come to mind are Dean Martin and also Jimmy the Greek. So once we get past that, it's a steel mill town and blue-collar type of environment close to Pittsburgh. And you grew up in a family of athletes. In fact, your brother played professional baseball. But tell us how you got started with your passion for the love of the game.
Well, I don't know. I think the Lord put an engine in me when I was little, and I can remember all the way back to 4 and 5 years old, being a bat boy for my brother's team, and that's all I ever wanted to do was someday be on the field and play. Like I said, I was a bat boy, but I was a bat boy at age 5. I mean, most kids nowadays at age 5, you know, they're locked up with their parents somewhere. I was loose. I was running with, hanging out with guys who were in high school and college age, and that's all I ever wanted to do. And in fact, after I was a bat boy, I'd go home and get a ball, throw it against a wall, and my brother, well, he was 14 years older than me, my brother Romy, and he was a pitcher, went to Notre Dame, and then signed professionally. He was my idol, and he came home one day, told my dad to make me a catcher. He said, that's the quickest way to get to the big league. So I loved being a catcher. I loved, you know, putting on the equipment and getting dirty, and then the rest is history. I just start playing every day, and that's all I ever wanted to do.
Now, you really opened up your life in this book. So a lot of pain, a lot of joy, a lot of sorrow, exhilaration, of course. But to give some background, and we're going to give tidbits of the book. The folks got to go out and buy this. It's an amazing book that really could help out every person who reads it, whether you're a father or just a parent or just a sports aficionado. But let's talk about your father. Jerome was a taskmaster. He put a lot of pressure on you to perform. And in fact, Romy was he was the brunt, if you'd say, of your father's honing in on him to make him a great athlete. And then Romy passed away, and the attention focused on you, Rich. But he was a taskmaster, and he was really tough on you growing up, and you had to perform or else.
Right. But when my brother died at 28, my dad's dream was for my brother to pitch in the big leagues. He pitched in the minor leagues, then contacted Hodgkin's disease and died at 28. So here I come, and I'm going to be the next prodigal son. I'm going to be the guy who plays in the big leagues, and no matter what. And I was going to be different. Like in Little League, I had rules. You stay on the porch on the day of a game. You weren't allowed to swim during the summer because that made you tired. You weren't allowed to watch movies because that hurt your eyes. So my dad was more than strict. And each game, I tell people all the time, each game that I played in Little League was not a Little League game to me. It was a big league game. My brother dressed me properly, showed me how to cuff my pants, showed me how to wear my uniform, and showed me how to act like a professional when I was 8 years old. So that was my dad's journey for me, and he was going to do everything in his power to make sure I was on the straight and narrow.
So you had this fear of failure growing up, and you a very competitive guy, obviously, and then you had your talents rose, and you were noticed. In fact, you went to Xavier University, and your dad wanted you to become a baseball player, but there's a funny story in here. You were dating at your time to be your first wife, and you wound up on the basketball court, Rich, and your dad walks in with she might have been your fiance, your girlfriend at the time, and he wasn't happy that you were taking layups in pregame.
No, he didn't even know I was on the team. He was in Steubenville, and he was come down and visit me, and I said, come on down. Meantime, Joe Pangrazio, who has passed away, he was my best friend. He was a point guard on the Xavier basketball team, and he said, Rich, come on down in the summer and work out with us. And I worked out, and the basketball coach went to Joe. He says, who's that guy you're playing with? He says, that's Rich Donnelly. He's here on a baseball scholarship. Well, he says, you tell him now he's on a basketball scholarship. So I played on a freshman team, and I didn't tell my dad. And my dad came down to visit me and with my fiance, Peggy, and they went to the game, and my dad went, where's Rich? And Peggy said, oh, he'll be out here in a minute. And here I come out, we're playing Kentucky, and I come out in the layup line. He goes, what the heck is he doing out there? Well, I had a great game, and I got about 3 standing ovations, and people were going crazy. I had some good passes and everything. And my dad got mad. And after the game, I went back, showered, and I says, Peggy, where's dad? He says, he got mad. He drove back to Steubenville. So he left and drove all the way back without even seeing me. But I finished up with four games that year. And he says, after that, he says, you're down there to play baseball, not football, not basketball. You're down there to play baseball. So it all worked out in the end.
Yeah, it certainly did. Blessed to play, Ron Meyer. I'm chatting today with Rich Donnelly. Over 28 years in Major League Baseball, won a world championship with the Florida Marlins. We're talking about the book, The Chicken Runs at Midnight, where Rich is the subject of this book, along with his daughter, Amy, which we'll talk about later on in the show. Well, let's talk about how the career progressed. You wound up making it to AAA, but you prayed when you were a young boy to be a third base coach, which was kind of crazy. But you didn't make it to the big leagues, but you made it, obviously, to a high level of professional baseball. We'll talk about your passion going into playing AAA ball, but also how you developed a managerial acumen to become a coach in professional baseball.
Well, I was drafted by the Yankees, and I ended up signing with the Twins as a free agent, and I played 3 or 4 years of pro ball. But all the time, I don't know why, I was always attracted to a third base coach in the 1927 Yankees named Frankie Crosetti, because he wore his chewing gum on the top of his hat between innings, and then he would put it back in his mouth again when he coached third. And I thought, man, that's a pretty cool deal. That's what I want to do. So after I played pro ball, and I had the good fortune of playing for Ted Williams with Washington Senators in spring training, and then I also had the good fortune of coaching with Billy Martin. And I was only like 26, 27 years old, and they were calling me the boy wonder, and I was going to be a big league manager someday. So, you know, Billy helped my career, and then at 25, I started managing in minor leagues, which was kind of young. And I managed for 10 years, and then my goal was to be then a big league coach. I said, I want to be a big league third base coach, because that's an important job on the field, and that's what I wanted to do. And after 10 years in the big leagues, finally, 10 years in the minor leagues managing, I got an opportunity when I was finally 37 years old to be the bullpen coach for the Texas Rangers.
And interesting that we talked about Steubenville being close to Pittsburgh, but you came to coach in Pittsburgh, and it's really a funny story. Jim Leland, who became a great friend of yours and got the managerial job, and a guy by the name of Sid Thrift, who liked blueberry muffins. You could tell more about that, but he was the one who invited you up to his hotel room, gave you what I would call a non-baseball interview, and you found out later that you would be a bullpen coach for your buddy Jim Leland and go to Pittsburgh, a team that you followed during your young career.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. I went to San Diego looking for a job, and my good friend Vince Genovese from Texas, he flew me out there, and he says, you're going to sit in this lobby and you're going to talk to everybody that walks through this lobby. So I saw Jim. He had just been hired with Pittsburgh, and I said, Jim, is there any chance I could be on your staff? And he says, you'll have to talk with Sid Thrift, our GM. So about an hour later, I'm getting ready to go back home, and Sid Thrift calls me. He says, hey, boy, I want you to come up my room, boy. And when you come up there, boy, I want you to bring me about a dozen blueberry muffins. And I went, what? Blueberry muffins? So I went to the bakery there at the hotel, and I got a baker's dozen. I got 13. And they were just bite-sized. So I took them up to Mr. Thrift, and he's about 6'6" and weighs about 250 pounds. And he said, come on in, boy. And then his first question he asked me, he said, well, what are you going to do out of that bullpen, boy? And then he put a muffin into his mouth. And then he asked me 13 questions, and none of them were about baseball, just about life and everything. And he was slobbering all over himself, and I walked out of that room going, oh, man, what kind of interview is this? And I flew back to Texas, and about 5 hours later, Jim called, and he said, are your mom and dad going to opening day in Pittsburgh? I said, no, why? He said, weren't they going to go watch your son coach? And I knew right then I had the job. So it was a dream come true to be coaching for my childhood team.
And some great things happened in Pittsburgh, of course, in 1992 NLCS between the Pirates and the Braves. Pirates came on the short end, but nevertheless made it far during that season. Blessed to play, Ron Meyer. Once again, chatting with Rich Donnelly. What a great book, The Chicken Runs at Midnight. Rich really puts it out there. His whole life story, we're going to get into more in depth about not only his upbringing, but also his daughter's Amy battle with cancer, and a tremendous miracle that happened that restores faith in everyone when you hear this story, The Chicken Runs at Midnight, coinciding with the 1997 World Series between the Florida Marlins and the Cleveland Indians. Well, let's fast forward now. Rich, your career in sports is one thing, but then your the environment you're brought up in, your relationship with your father and everything, all this kind of intertwines, but you go on, you have a few children. One of them is Amy, and Amy is your first daughter?
My only daughter.
Your only daughter.
Yeah. At the time, yeah.
And Amy was kind of she was the voice of reason for you in many respects, and she brought you front and center, let you know straight up what's going on, and really wanted and demanded your attention. Tell us a little bit about Amy.
Well, I had first, my wife and I, Peggy, we tried to have a kid, and she had a miscarriage, our first baby, and then we had our first boy, Bubba, and then we had our second, and then here comes Amy, and like Amy writes in the book, she wrote me a letter one time. She says, "Dad, what did you think you were going to have all boys?" He says, "Girls rock too, you know." And Amy was my other son. She was a tomboy. She wanted to be included in everything. And then when we had our other two kids, Tim and Mike, our other boys, now we had three boys and a girl. And Amy wanted to be one of the boys. She wanted to go play ball. All the boys played ball, basketball, football, everything. And she wanted to be part of that. And at that time in my life, like I say in the book, I made a major mistake. I put all the emphasis toward my boys, and because girls' sports wasn't real popular then, and I said, "Hey, these boys are going to play sports in high school and college. Amy, she'll just be a nice girl that goes to school and all this stuff." And so, but I didn't know this, but she wanted to be right in the mix with all the boys.
In fact, Amy even wrote a little note to you saying, "Teach me how to hit a home run, or go play catch with me in the backyard." So she was reinforcing that you wanted to be part of the group too.
Right? Yeah, she wanted. Every time we went out and played in the driveway, I'd play with the boys, and she'd be playing with her dolls or something. All of a sudden, she'd throw the doll in a corner, and she'd come out and she'd go, "Okay, now whose team am I on?" And she wanted to play.
So Amy kind of she kind of prefigured her life. She had a sense about her that something was going to happen in her life, and she was kind of preparing you, it seemed like, during this time. And there came a time where Amy, I guess, wasn't feeling well. You got wind of it. Tell us how you got the news at first that something was wrong with Amy, and when you first out news about her cancer.
Well, she went for an eye exam to my good friend Dr. Tex Cole, and Tex called me after. He says, "Rich, we got a problem. Amy has no peripheral vision on her right side at all." And he says, "I'd like to go have an MRI taken of her head." Well, they did, and they found a tumor right behind her right eye. And that's why she couldn't have no peripheral vision. And then, she went in, she had the tumor looked at, and the doctor says it was cancerous. And then we got the real bad news. He says, "Rich, we can't get it all." And I asked the doctor, "Tell me what that means." He says, "Rich, she has 9 months to live." And that's when the seriousness of all that hit me, that I just couldn't believe it. She was 17 years old, and now you're telling me my daughter has 9 months to live, and it was something that really shook you.
And it was during the time of the first season, 1992, I should say, the NLCS, where this nonsensical phrase came up, the chicken runs at midnight out of nowhere. And tell us how this saying came to fruition.
Actually, it was the playoffs in 92, the fifth game. We flew Amy up. She was having chemo. We flew her up with her friend Cindy for one game. And we won that game, and to go down 3-2 in the series. And I told Amy, "Hey, if we win this and go to the World Series, you're going." Well, after the fifth game, she's driving back in the car in Pittsburgh, and she puts her hands around my neck, and she's in the back seat. She goes, "Dad, when you get down that crouch with a man on second and cup your hands, what are you telling those guys? The chicken runs at midnight or what?" And all our kids and everybody, Cindy, we went, "What is that? Where'd you come up with that one?" And she just said, "I don't know, it just came out." And we laughed about it. And for that year, while Amy was battling cancer and getting chemo, that was our family motto. We signed all our letters, CRAM, chicken runs at midnight. And it just became a family phrase that meant nothing.
All right, let's take a break. On the other side, we'll find out if the chicken runs at midnight did indeed happen during the 1997 World Series. More with Rich Donnelly when Bless the Play returns after this.
Somebody told me the best evangelical tool is EWTN radio, and I've been listening to it and am in RCIA.
Welcome back to Blessed to Play. And now here's your host, Ron Meyer.
Blessed to Play, Ron Meyer, joined today by Rich Donnelly. And what a career Rich has had in Major League Baseball. 28 years as a big league coach. I'm not going to say he's retired because I've heard this a number of times, and he always winds up coming back into baseball. But a great book that was written by Tom Friend, who is an Emmy-nominated sports journalist, called The Chicken Runs at Midnight. And the subject is Rich Donnelly, but it also talks about his daughter, Amy. And we ended the last segment talking about Amy, what type of a girl she was. Rich's only daughter, who came down with brain cancer. And Rich, Amy obviously struggled during this time receiving treatments. And you were coaching at the time, too. So I'm sure it was very difficult to you to not only tend to your daughter, but also maintain your profession as a Major League Baseball coach. But talk about the plight of Amy as time has gone on. And
yeah, Amy, after the she contacted the tumor, she had chemo from that spring all the way till the next October, and I was in Pittsburgh, and she would come up and visit, and then when we go to Houston to play the Astros, I would see her, and she battled it. She had to do these chemo treatments, and you know, she kept a stiff upper lip. She was always smiling and laughing, and I was told later that, you know, she had her moments when she went in her room and, you know, she broke down because she knew that she had 9 months to live. But during that 9 months, she never outwardly showed it. She was happy. She was worried about everybody else. She was worried about me, her mom, her brothers, and how everything was going to be when she was gone. And I tell somebody all the time, in those 9 months, she definitely showed me how to live, and then she showed me how to die in those last 9 months by the way she handled everything.
And in fact, Amy was able to attend Game 5 of the 1992 NLCS and see you coach and see the team perform.
Yeah, that's when she came up with that phrase, the chicken runs at midnight, and we flew her back to Texas, and that was in October. And then in January, she lapsed into a coma, and of course I went down there and stayed in the hospital for 3 weeks, and then on January 28th, 93, she passed away.
Amy passed away, but this really changed your life. It taught you how to live and how to die. And all the pain that you experienced during your childhood and some of the mistakes you made during your life caused you to reevaluate your life based on the way Amy handled herself in the most trying of times.
Yeah.
And she really was a testament to you on how you were going to live the rest of your life and conduct yourself accordingly.
Yeah, I was brought up around a strong Catholic. I said I was all-American Catholic. I went to Mass maybe twice a day. I said all my prayers, morning, evening, lunch, did the rosary, was a server, a church, a bishop server, but I got away from my faith. I was, I had a bout of infidelity, which I went through, and Amy and I had our differences, and, you know, she was upset at me for that. But when she got this tumor, I kept watching her and saying, how the heck is she handling this? She's 17 years old. She knows she's going to die. And she's shown me the way to do it. And she's just so caring about everybody else. So during that last 9 months, it affected me to this day, the way that she carried herself and the way that she lived her life.
And she was the voice of God, really, because she told you, she said, you're forgiven, but don't go do it again.
Yeah, I remember there was a time where she didn't speak to me for about probably 6 weeks, and boy, that's tough when your 17-year-old daughter won't speak to you because of something stupid you did. And one day we got on the phone, and she says, yeah, Dad, I forgive you for everything, and I love you. And it's funny that when she got sick, we were probably as close as we've ever been in our whole life. And then during that last 9 months, it gave me a sense of satisfaction that I was back with my daughter again, but I was going to lose her. So I had to deal with that, but she taught me the way to do it.
And you, early in your first marriage, you had a miscarriage, and we all struggle with the faith, and we go through this journey, and it's kind of that tug of war with God, and we feel sometimes God lets us down, and then, but this kind of rejuvenated your faith as a Catholic, just faith in general. Amy's story. Talk about your rejuvenation. You had these two chapters. You one of your chapters is Convenient Catholic, where you were just kind of going through the motions. And then there was one chapter, I think it was you had faith, family, and you said not necessarily in that order, though, and baseball. So talk about how you got your priorities back, and was Amy the inspiration behind that?
Well, she was. I always tell the story. My life was like running the bases. I was running the bases in my life when I was younger, real good, the first to second. Then when I got to second, I got out of the baseline, as I say. and I ended up out in left field, and I needed somebody to wave me to third, to wave me back home where I had peace of mind and where I was strong in my faith. And it was my daughter and then my wife, Roberta, who I married later. But Amy's the one that got me back by just watching her, how she handled. I mean, how do you handle at 17, how do you handle sickness and dying at that age? And I said, if she can do that, then, man, I'm so, it made me feel so humble as a human being to say, hey, you're an adult. You're supposed to know better. She's 17 years old, and she's teaching you. And I always say that you're supposed to be heroes to your kids, and Amy was my hero.
And Amy was prepared for that because even like as a 12-year-old, she was taking care of her brothers who were older, right, and watching out for them.
Yeah, well, Tim and Mike were her younger brothers, and, you know, she was like the mom to them. But she had everything in order. She was amazing. I think what she would have been? She would have been a great teacher, and everybody says, because that's what she wanted to be, a teacher. And they said, oh, it's too bad that she wasn't a teacher. And I tell everybody, well, wait a minute. She was the greatest teacher I've ever had. She taught me. In 9 months, she taught me everything I need to know about this life.
Well, Amy, after her death, didn't stop teaching. In fact, let's go to the 1997 World Series, and we talked about this phrase, the chicken runs at midnight. She asked you what you were saying when you cupped your hands. So the 1997 World Series, you're there. Jim Leland is the manager. The Florida Marlins are taking on the Cleveland Indians. And Greg Council, who is now managing the Milwaukee Brewers, is known as the chicken. So tell us the story, Rich.
Well, my boys, Tim and Mike, they were the bat boys for the Marlins, and they knew, and we acquired Craig Council during the season, and Craig had a funny batting stance. It's documented in the book. There's a picture of it. It shows him he holds his hands real high with a bat, and then he flaps his left arm like a chicken. So the kids called him a chicken all summer, and I never thought anything of it. They said, hey, the chicken wants to take some batting practice. Hey, the chicken wants some ground balls. And I said, who? And they said, Counts, the chicken. So it just went on and on like that. And then here we go. We get in the playoffs. And then we get to the World Series, of course. And we get to the seventh game. And Craig Council standing beside me on third. And 70,000 people, Pro Player Stadium. And we're playing the Cleveland Indians. And 11th inning, Edgar Renteria gets a base hit up the middle. And we win. And it's pandemonium. And I'm jumping all over the place. I don't know where I'm at. I'm just... Your lifelong dream has come to pass. You are the world champions in a World Series. Amazing. But I'm trying to find my sons, Tim and Mike, on the field. And there's a picture in the book, and I just found the picture this year, Ron. I never knew the picture existed. Tim and me, we find each other halfway between first and second base. We hug, but he's crying and he's screaming at me. He's going, I'm saying, what's wrong with you? What are you, crazy? What are you crying for? We won. He said, Dad, look at the clock. I said, what clock? What are you talking about? He said, Dad, look at the clock behind you. I looked at the stadium clock. It was like 12:02. He says, Dad, the chicken ran at midnight. And, man, I just buckled. I just fell to my knees. Craig Council, the chicken, scored the winning run at midnight. The chicken ran at midnight. That phrase that meant nothing for 5 years all of a sudden came to pass in a miracle story.
And I'm trying to put myself in your shoes. You just won a world championship. It's hysterical on the field, and now you're brought to a different perspective about your daughter. How did you handle all these emotions at the time after the game?
It was hard. I remember for about 2 hours after that happened, like I was happy, but I wasn't happy no more. I had a feeling of, it was a warm feeling, is all I could describe. It was like my whole body was on fire. And I said, if this isn't a message from the Lord, then nothing is. My daughter said this stupid thing 5 years ago. She knew how much this World Series meant to me. And at the pinnacle of my career, what this stupid phrase that she said actually happened. And I went home that night. I pulled out the note that I carried around. She wrote me a note in Atlanta. Chicken runs at midnight. Good luck in the game. And I kept that note for 5 years, and I pulled it out. And it's like I wanted to call her and tell her, hey, the chicken did run at midnight. It did. And I'll never forget that night driving home. I get home about 5 in the morning, and then we had a pool out in the back, and I just went out in the pool and looked up at the sky, and I goes, you know, some people don't believe in miracles, and they don't believe in God, and they don't believe, and their faith isn't strong. And here I am, blessed to have all three. I said, I've seen a miracle. I surely believe in God. And now I'm going to keep the faith that I had when I was little.
A daughter's message from heaven that changed a father's heart and won a World Series. Rich, tell us briefly what this story has done. I know you've obviously managed and you've traveled throughout professional baseball, and people want to hear this story.
Yeah, you know, that's why we did the book, in hopes of inspiring and helping others. But I've talked to numerous people, not only in baseball, but other walks of life. And since we've written the book, they've called me. They say, Rich, this story is unbelievable. Tell me about the book. Tell me about your life. And, you know, and they want to know. They want to know, how did this happen? They want to know all about Amy. And I could have written another book just about Amy, just about how she was maybe in her first 16 years. She was a lot like me. But the thing I wanted to get across in the book is that I had a goal of getting to the big leagues, and nothing was going to get in that way. My children weren't. My wife wasn't. Nothing was going to do that. I would do anything that it took to get to the big leagues. And you could have asked me to do 100 things, 99 of them bad, and I would have done them to get to the big leagues. And that's a mistake I made. I sort of ignored. I was on the highway, I say. My kids and wife were on the side of the road, and I went right by them to get to the big leagues. And that's the lesson. And in life, it doesn't have to be the big leagues. It could be your job. You want to get to the top of your corporation. You want to be the top of your business. That's all fine, but don't ignore your family.
Well, I couldn't put this book down, and the chickens surely did run at midnight. And to get a copy of the book, simply go to Amazon. The book is written by Tom Friend, an Emmy-nominated sports journalist, with a foreword by Tim Kirchen. And it will change you when you read this book, and give it to someone else. It's a gift that will keep on giving. It's put out by Zondervan, and go get yourself a copy. Rich, thanks so much. I was inspired by the book, and I know this book is going to bear a lot of fruit in months and years to come. And thank you so much for coming on Blessed to Play.
Ron, thank you so much for having me.
Hey, Blessed to Play fans, check us out on the web at www.blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number two, play.com. You can like us on Facebook and follow the show right on Twitter at Blessed to Play. For Rich Donnelly, I'm Ron Meyer. We'll catch you next time right here on Blessed to Play.
You've been listening to Blessed to Play with host Ron Meyer on the EWTN Global Catholic Network. If you have a question or comment about today's show, feel free to email us at info@blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number two, play.com. You can also connect with the show on the web at www.blessedtoplay.com. Again, that's blessed, the number two, play.com. Join us again next time for Blessed to Play on the EWTN Global Catholic Network.